Welcome to Money Isn't Scary, a podcast for women to explore our fears around money and inspire each other to be financially empowered. I'm Megan Dwyer, and I'm making it my personal mission to remove the taboo around money and help women rewrite their stories so they can stop staying small and begin to live life on their terms. In this show, we get real and uncomfortable as we unpack our beliefs, thoughts, and behaviors that aren't serving us anymore. I can't wait for you to join me on this journey, so let's dive in. Hi, you guys. Welcome to another episode of the Money Isn't Scary podcast. I'm Megan Dwyer. Today, I am chatting with Allison McGrath. Allison is an elementary school adjustment counselor and author of the brand spanking new book, Walter and the Worry Test. This was such a special conversation for me. Allison is amazing. She is a personal friend and fellow mom, and we've always had this connection around the real and authentic parts of motherhood. And her book emphasizes her passion for teaching kids to embrace their emotions and to learn healthy coping strategies, something that I really wish I had when I was in elementary school. But before we get into the episode, here's a little bit more about Allison. Allison McGrath is a school adjustment counselor who has a passion for teaching coping strategies to students from kindergarten through fifth grade. Allison loves to teach children about growth mindset, self-compassion, mindfulness, and reframing worry thoughts. She has found the fundamentals of cognitive behavioral therapy to be especially powerful for individuals who have anxiety. Her personal library of books is large, and she is a supporter of bibliotherapy. Allison hopes that this book, her new book, Walter and the Worry Test, will aid educators and parents to help guide children on the journey to be as worry-free as possible. And in our conversation today, Allison and I talk about the power of social emotional learning and normalizing anxiety for kids and grown-ups too. We talk about why it's important to teach our kids that all feelings are okay. And we talk about how we can be in control of our own worries and so much more. You guys can find more from Allison at her website, authorallisonmcgrath.com. You can get the book there, and you can also get the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Walmart. It's available for pre-sale at the moment, and as of April 16th, everything will be out there ready to go, ready to buy. So I'm so excited for you guys to listen to this conversation, to read the book, share it with your kids. It's just a really special message that I think everyone will appreciate and the kids will learn so much from. So without further ado, here's my conversation with the amazing Allison McGrath. Enjoy. Hi, Allison. Welcome to the Money Isn't Scary podcast. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
I am so excited to be interviewing today. So just so the audience knows, Allison and I are personal friends. She's also the adjustment counselor at my kid's school. We've always had this connection when it comes to embracing the emotional parts of being human and motherhood. And now Allison is taking that expertise and doing some more amazing things in this world, like writing a book. So with that, I would love to start by having you tell the audience a little bit more about you and your work and your mission.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that introduction. So my role as a school adjustment counselor has sort of led me into taking things to the next step and the next level and really kind of putting what I know into words to make it accessible for children. And so I took a little bit of time away from direct work with students and clients and was more on the administrative side of things. And then once I really followed my heart, my passion, and got back into the direct work with children, I found that reading text and use of children's literature and picture books was so powerful for kids. And I thought, I can contribute here. And so much of my work with children focuses around worries, worry thoughts, feelings of anxiety. And I thought, if I could take the fundamentals of cognitive behavioral therapy and put them into words for children to understand, how amazing would that be? And so that's sort of where we are right now.
And I, I was going to say, I just love the fact that you're doing this, the fact that this is starting to be, this is
even exists in schools, because this didn't when we were kids, right? It was like if you went to go see the guidance counselor, it was like stigmatized almost in our generation. So I know that many of our listeners, many of the listeners to the podcast are our parents, and this whole thing around like embracing our emotions and embracing like, maybe the, we call it ugly, or the parts of us that we don't love, right, is so important to understanding who we are and how we integrate ourselves into the world and into the social environment in schools. And it's so crucial to our development, I think, in learning how to embrace and manage our emotions versus kind of shoving them aside and pretending that they don't exist within, like, the cultural constructs that we're in within society and school. So I just love that, first of all, that this is, it's not stigmatized anymore. My kids love going to see you, and I know their friends do too. And I just love to hear your perspective more on that too, and just how, it's becoming more welcome in schools and in our culture.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting. I had a parent just ask me yesterday. She said, "Do you think that kids are more anxious, or do you think that it's now just talked about more?" And I honestly think it's now just more accepted. And there's a part in the book that talks about what if people think negatively of the main character, that he has to go talk to the school counselor? Because I think that sometimes can be a misconception of people, like, oh, my child's going to get pulled out and have to go to this person, and how are they going to feel? And to be honest, now we know so much more now than when I was growing up, which wasn't all that long ago. But we just know so much more, and there's so many more resources, and it's so much more kind of widely talked about, and support is so much more accessible, I think. One of my favorite things to do is to support kids in whole class lessons. So I schedule times with the teachers, most teachers, and I go into the classrooms and I teach to all kids. So it just normalizes all of the things that, are important for kids to know. And I think, I could talk about social emotional learning and dive in deep into that conversation, and talk at length about that. But one of the most important things to remember is that if kids are not feeling well, if kids are anxious or worried or sad, they are not going to be available for learning. And so social emotional learning is so much more than just talking about your feelings and coping strategies. And, a lot of parents will say, well, those are things that we talk about at home. And while that's so wonderful and that's so great, if a child is not well adjusted and a child doesn't feel good about themselves, they are not going to be accessible to learn the reading and the writing and the math. So I could talk about that for hours, but that's just where I see my role as a counselor and social emotional learning as a whole, and why I think it's so much more discussed, talked about, and so much more kind of readily available for kids than when we were in school.
I just think it's such a beautiful thing. I think that, we all need this. I mean, we're 40-year-old adults, right? And we could use this kind of education that you're going into the classroom, and just like basic stuff. And also, I love the common humanity piece of it, and just recognizing that, hey, like if one kid is like, for a kid, it's so powerful for a 7, 8-year-old kid to know that what I'm feeling is not individualized. It's such a common universal feeling, and everybody's going through it too. That's just like so powerful for me, and I think for a kid to learn. I wish that was something I learned at that age.
So yesterday I was in your son's class, and we were talking about feelings, just generally speaking. We talked about sadness, we talked about anxiety or worries, and we talked about anger. And when we talked about sadness, I had a student raise their hand and talk about they were sad when a family member passed away. And by the end of that lesson, I had probably 3/4 of that class raising their hand, talking about a loss that they had had. Some children losing, people that were very close to them, anywhere from a parent to a dog. And so it just sort of
That's incredible.
normalized. Yeah.
Okay, I mean,
You'll have to
we
ask them
never
about
talked about
that.
that. We never
I
talked about
know.
that as kids.
I know. And people will say to me, like, who is Walter? Like, who is the main character of your book? And I'm like, you know what? He was me. He was you. There's a Walter in every single one of us. And I was left to feel and believe that I had attention deficit disorder and I had a learning disability. And it actually wasn't until just recently when I tried to kind of navigate that a little bit for my own self personally. And it was all tied to anxiety and feelings of worry. So I wish that a tool like this was available then.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. So let's jump in a little. What can you tell us about Walter and his worry test?
Yes. So Walter, people say to me, who is Walter and why did you name him Walter? And really, I just like the alliteration of having a W, Walter and worry. I found that kind of catchy. But so Walter is this boy. And like I said, I think there's truthfully, I think there's a Walter hidden somewhere in all of us. And Walter really is, the story is about, is a children's book about worry thoughts and how one can reframe a negative mindset in order to reduce symptoms of anxiety. And so basically what I did was I took the fundamentals and the theories of cognitive behavioral therapy, which really at its core is that all thoughts lead us to have certain feelings, which then lead us to act in a certain way or behave in a certain way. And that's the cognitive triangle. So all of those things are related. And when you actually take a step back and you reframe that worry thought, your feelings and your behaviors automatically shift based on the reframe that you've done, based on kind of taking that one worry thought and making it more a reality. And through some of this work, research that I've done shows that 94% of what we worry about does not actually come to fruition. It doesn't actually happen. So we are taking up so much brain power, so much energy on things that likely won't come true. And if they do, we have ways to manage that. So that's really kind of the nuts and bolts of how this story was born. And I thought, how amazing, you know, there's so many books about worries, beautiful, wonderful stories about worries. What this book I feel does, and what separates this from maybe some of the other texts, is that what I wanted to do was give students, individuals reading this, the tools to be able to do this on their own. And while I sort of envision a grown-up or a trusted adult reading this with a child or you know, having some time together, I really wanted to give students and individuals, children, the tools to do this independently on their own. How can I ask myself those questions to reframe that worry thought that's taking up so much space in my brain?
And I mean, I think it is such a powerful tool for adults. Like, I mean, we were not taught this stuff. We weren't taught, like, it's why it's incredible that our kids are learning this. But if we can use those simple tools that are in the book on us, then it shows that, like, as role models, it shows that we're doing it. And then it becomes more commonplace and more normal, right, for kids to see the grown-ups doing it too. Because I think the biggest piece to all of this is them recognizing that as grown-ups, it's our responsibility to learn to regulate our emotions too.
For sure. And one of the themes, not only in my work and in my lessons, but also throughout this book, is all feelings are, ask your children, say, what are all feelings? And they'll say, all feelings are okay. And when I say that, sometimes kids or even grown-ups will challenge me and say, really? Like, feelings of sadness are okay? All feelings are okay. And I truly believe that. And I truly believe that it's important that we give that message to our kids. It's what we do with those emotions that really matter. It's how we navigate those emotions that really matter. And while not all feelings are preferred, not all feelings feel good, it's okay to give us that message, both children, both, you know, children and adults, of it is okay. And when we say it's okay and we name it, we can then find the right tools or people to help us.
Absolutely. And that is, like, that's the common thread with the work that I do with money, right? So this podcast is about supporting women and helping them to create a healthy relationship with money, which I've learned through my own personal growing pains is just so directly correlated with our relationship with ourselves. And money has been this topic that women often avoid because I think we've just absorbed these cultural messages telling us that we are too emotional and therefore not good or responsible with money. And my message is to kind of flip that all upside down. And because I believe that our emotions, all of them, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, whatever they are superpowers. And we need to learn how to embrace them and express them and let them guide us in a healthy way because they're there to teach us something, right?
Absolutely.
And the big thing too, I think for adults and me in particular, what I've been learning recently is that we do, it might even be subconscious, but I think we still like to avoid difficult feelings. Like for me, I'm somebody that really doesn't like to disappoint people. I really don't like when people don't like me, right? So I will do things that kind of help, like action-wise, like the behaviors come from the thoughts, and the thoughts come from, right, the thoughts come from the feelings
That's
ultimately.
right.
And that feeling is that pain of like that discomfort of not having somebody like me, or that feeling of having somebody like be disappointed in me. So it's like interesting how the behavior's on the surface, but when you peel back all the layers of the onion, it's so much deeper underneath. Like there's so much.
Absolutely.
And when you can start to welcome that and like be comfortable with the discomfort. And I wouldn't even say you have to be comfortable with it, but you have to learn to just kind of like let it be there and sit with it. That's when like the breakthroughs come, I feel like.
Definitely. And that's why, like I said, kids will say, all feelings can't be okay. Who wants to feel this way? And
Right.
there are feelings that are not as preferred. I have a hard time, a really hard time sitting with sadness. And it wasn't until I was much older where I realized I was taking a sad situation and turning it into something happy, just because I wanted to avoid. And so it's really saying that once we own it and name it and sit with it, that we have coping strategies and people who really can help us work through some of that.
And that's the message in the book, right? That
Yeah.
there's kids can get help when they're going
Yeah.
through big feelings.
Definitely. The message really is that children have worries, adults have worries, and that grown-ups can help. There are trusted adults who can help you work through some of this, and you have the tools, children have the tools innately to get through hard things. And I'm so such a believer of growth mindset and teaching children that they have the ability to do hard things. I can do hard things. We say that before a lesson. And also self-compassion. It's something that you have taught me. It's something that it's one of my favorite lessons to teach. But when you give yourself that loving kindness and you are kind to yourself, you give yourself that space and room to be able to really tackle some of this stuff. So, I think in reflection, so many topics and so many things that I believe are so important to teach our kids are really embedded in this story. But, if I could just say, one or two things that I would want children to take from this would be that grown-ups can help, all feelings are okay, and children can be in control of their worries.
Yeah, I love it. It's so powerful because it sets the foundation at a young age for being able to manage this throughout their life. Like, again, it's just something that I wish that I had because especially as we grow up and we become parents ourselves, I was not prepared for the at all. Like, this is the stuff nobody tells you, right? I was not prepared for the mom rage, if you will, or the slew of like all kinds of emotions that come with this role, and resentment and anger. Anger is a big one. Anger is a big one because, again, as women, I think we're taught that we shouldn't be angry. And if we are, we're labeled, right, in a certain
Yeah.
way. But anger is such a healthy and universal emotion that I think needs to be expressed. And we need to learn how to express it and manage that one in particular. And again, all emotions are welcome. It's okay. It's okay to be angry, but like, let's figure out the best way to manage it for us. Yeah.
And I do think when working with children, even my own children, I think it's okay to let them realize and understand you're human too.
Yeah.
And that can be powerful. And what I love about this work, and even as a mom, you can always go back and say, I'm really sorry that I, spoke to you like that. Every morning we leave our house and it is so stressful. I'm trying to get to work. I'm trying to get the kids out the door. I'm sure so many people can resonate with that. And I find myself apologizing a lot of the time, but it's not necessarily that I'm sorry for the way I acted. It's calling to light and attention the fact that, like, okay, when I get stressed because I'm afraid I'm going to be late for work, I don't act in the way that I'm proud of, or I don't say things in the way that I normally would. And so those are teaching moments, and those are opportunities. You can always go back. I always say in this work, there's never mistakes. You can't make a mistake. You can always go back, and you can always use it as a teaching moment for children, to help them learn from experiences and from your own experiences and being vulnerable.
There is no perfect. That's the thing I tell my kids all the time. Like, you can't expect, like, I am somebody who has always been, I've turned into this like perfectionist over the years as my own sort of coping mechanism. And I keep thinking that like me losing it in the morning or yelling at the kids or whatever is going to like, oh my God, did I just mess them up? Did I just like as if it's that black and white. Like I just screwed up my kids or I didn't, right? Like that's not possible. Like it's just not.
Right.
So we do the same thing. It's like I feel like we're constantly in repair mode in our house. Like mom didn't do the like I didn't handle that the way I wanted to handle that. Sorry. I oftentimes say it's because this, I have something else going on. I'm worried about something else, or I have this thing in the back of my head and I can't stop thinking about it, or whatever it is, because I want to normalize that what I didn't learn. Like I didn't know what it was like to go to work and have to juggle all the responsibilities when I was a kid. It just kind of happened, and emotions weren't really expressed or talked about in at least a healthy way until, growing up. Then it crossed a line, and then there was explosiveness, which I feel like is probably pretty common in most households when we were growing up. The other thing that is a little controversial, I feel like, is I cry all the time in front of my kids, all the time, and I think some people say, "Oh, don't do that." Even like my mother-in-law, don't let the kids see you cry. Don't let the kids see they cry. But honestly, I have two of the most like sweetest boys. And when I'm upset or I'm feeling it for whatever reason, they both will always come over to me and say, "Mama, what's going on? Are you okay?" Or give me a hug or whatever, put their hand on me. And it's like, I also want them to know, like, I'm just a crier. So I don't just cry when I'm sad. I cry when I'm happy. I cry. I'm just an emotional person, and that's how I express it. But I also think that tears are so healthy, and I want them to know that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with crying. I'm curious your
I was
thoughts.
going to say, yeah, the opposite of that is like, well, then you're kind of modeling for them that crying is okay and crying is a response to all sorts of different feelings. We recently lost our dog after 17 years, and there were lots of tears. And I, interesting, and I could go down this tangent, but, each of my children at very different ages kind of developmentally handled and processed this very different. And I didn't necessarily, because I was going through my own grief and my own challenge, I didn't necessarily feel like I was always as present as I could have been to them and in navigating that. But one thing that I did was show emotion. And I think it gave them permission to feel their feels as well.
Yeah, totally. Because it's all what's modeled for us, right? And if we're
Right.
taught that we never saw our parents cry, we're gonna think we're wrong when we do it. But I mean, it's a big deal. Losing a dog is losing a family member. It's
Yes.
so of course you're gonna have an emotional reaction. It's just like anything. So yeah, I think it's I personally, again, I think we need to move from the days of like, don't let them see you cry. Like I just remember all the times like going into work and having a bad day, feeling like going into the bathroom and crying because I'm in like a male-dominated industry, and you can't show weakness, right? I so disagree with that,
Right.
and I'm glad that again, that's sort of the purpose of the podcast is to help women to embrace a very historically kind of male, not only male dominated, but just male kind of energy topic in our culture in a way that feels more comfortable and more aligned with them and who they are. Like there is a place for it and for having an emotional relationship or bringing emotions into our relationship with money. Like that is, it is so crucial, I think, to our growth and development and creating a healthy relationship with all aspects of our lives, but in particular money, just because it's something that we see and deal with every day. This has been amazing, Allison. Thank you so much
Thank
for your
you.
time. So before we wrap up, I have two things. So I know you had sort of touched on this before, but with the book, really, what is the message that you want to leave kids and parents with? And I know you had said all worries are okay, but is there anything kind of like if you could write a note at the end of the book, is there a certain words that you would want to make sure that you left the readers with?
And I'm actually just looking at sort of my dear reader that I did include in the book. And interestingly enough, the first time I read it aloud, speaking of emotions, when I read this, that's when I got the most emotional. And I'm getting a little emotional just thinking about the message now, because that dear reader is really the crux of why I wrote this story. And the message is that if you're here, if you're reading the story, if the story has landed you on this page, it's because you have worry thoughts or someone you know has worry thoughts. And that we need to remember that you are not alone. You are okay. All of this is normal, and that adults in your life are here to help you, whether it be your grown-ups, whether it be somebody at school. But remember that you're not alone. The professionals, the caregivers, they can help. And so I think those themes are embedded in the story. They've been embedded in our conversation today. But
It's okay to ask for help too,
it's
right?
okay to ask for help. It's okay to ask for help. I spent so much of my life masking a lot of what I was feeling, because I wanted everybody on the outside to think that everything was okay. And in
All
the
do that.
story, we right and in the story, it talks about how the teacher was able, because the teacher knew the student, knew Walter so well, the teacher identified that there was something just off. And when I read the story out loud in class lessons, I ask the teachers in the room, and I say, "Now, Mrs. So and so, if you know someone, if some Walter came into your classroom, and how would you know that something was off? How would you know that something just wasn't right, or maybe that they weren't okay?" And they'll often say, I might see it in their body language. I might see it. Their head might be down. I might see them have tears in their eyes." But the point of that is that teachers and caregivers are so in tune with students and children that even if they're not in a place to say it or advocate for themselves, that people already know that something is off or not right. And so I think it's absolutely okay to ask for help. And if you don't ask for help, somebody might actually guide you for the help themselves.
Yeah. I think a big
So.
lesson in this too is that people care and you're not alone, right? There's people out there that care about you and want to help you and see you be the best you that you can be.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just huge, I think, for kids to know that they've got support in, home, at home, in school, in all areas, right? It's like making it feel like it's a safe place. So that they can express. That's the biggest thing, I think.
Yeah, and normalizing it. I think sometimes when students see things through, or children see things through text or characters or visuals, they're able to kind of connect in a different kind of way than just teachers or grown-ups saying, "Oh yeah, it's okay. Oh yeah, we all have worries." But you're able to kind of connect, and it could be about anything. And that's why I think that bibliotherapy and teaching through use of story and characters, students don't even realize, children don't even realize that they're reading about themselves.
Right.
And that is so powerful. So I hope now, we can get this into caregivers' hands. We can, you know, share this as a tool, as a way for starting conversation, and really helping kiddos.
I love it. I think it's amazing. I just love what you're doing. I think it's just such a amazing, it's going to be such a great tool and resource for kids and for parents, you know, and who are still learning to figure out their own big feelings too. So I love everything about it. So with that, Allison, could you tell everyone where people can get the book, where people can hear
Yes.
from you when
Yes.
it's launching? It hasn't come out officially yet, right?
No. Yeah. So in this world is all so new to me. I'm like, I don't know. When am I launching my, when is it published? I've had to learn so much and really dive in. And just a shout out to all the people that have helped kind of pave the way for me. I was really connected to a children's author network through Facebook, and my illustrator is in Australia, and I feel like I've known her my whole life. And so there's been some really amazing people along the way who have helped get me to this point. So I just need to note that, to name that. But so the book launch is at the Milton Public Library on April 16th at 2:30 p.m. So for those of you local or in town, it's over school vacation week. So an activity to attend. So you can get the book on my website, www.authorallisonmcgrath.com. You can pre-order
the
there.
Links to that. I'll put
yeah,
the
you can put the links
notes.
In.
Yeah.
It's also available for pre-order at Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Walmart. Where else? I think I'm forgetting one. But I would say you can pre-order at any of those places. And as of April 16th, everything will be available for on-demand order.
Amazing. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited. I hope this gets out. I hope this is like required reading in schools. And I'm so excited for the ripple effect that this is going to have on the world and our kids.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it. It was so nice to connect with you in this way, and I'll leave you with this. So, interestingly enough, speaking of money, it's something that is very uncomfortable for me. It's something that I never really felt. My relationship with money has been challenging, and my husband, oddly enough, or ironically enough, is an accountant.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine that that's been a cause of stress and just differences in how we navigate and manage, and among a lot of things. And we're planning on putting an addition on our house, and I decided I'm going to write a children's book. And so I did not know, and I did not understand the cost implications for what this would to self-publish. It's very, very expensive, but I can say that we've gotten through some of the hard parts, and now Pat and I are partnering for him to be able to kind of help me on the money side of things and
Awesome.
Just the business aspect of things. So my hope is to learn from him in a way that feels good for me while really doing something and sharing something, selling something that I'm super passionate about.
Awesome. Yeah. And that side of it too, kind of the income piece of it is there's a lot of mindset that can be done around that. And I think a lot of like women in particular, that's an area where we kind of play small. So yeah, listen to the podcast. There's all kinds of little good nuggets out there, and some great interviews
Yeah.
that I have around that too. That'll help on the emotional side. So that's awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You're amazing. Thank you so much.
Ah, thank you.